I'm going to be a rocking
Love
chair.
Love Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4. I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain. Ring with the harmony, oh, let it be. Let our rejoicing rise high. Loud as the Lord see ya.
Y'all on this phone this morning. I'm black and I'm proud. I said it loud and y'all just lit up the board. My God. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. I know we got a lot to talk about this morning, and I'm going to try not to make my monologue too long so I can come back and get more y'all. I know there's a lot of things going on. Barack was in the city yesterday. I don't think he might not have the influence he thought he had. He might have heard. He might turn out the folks who wasn't gonna come out. But aside from that, was he in the city to help the Democrats, or was he in the city to pick your next mayor? Okay, y'all can talk about that too. And we are going to be talking about the mural piece today. I was on with Mays, I think, Wednesday. And we talked about a few things that I'm going to try to follow up on. If you want to follow up on it, we can follow up on it. But I was really been thinking and kind of concerned. You know how you recalibrate and you rebrand and redo your stuff? I don't know when the last time black folks recalibrated. I don't even know when the last time black folks even rethought anything. But at the same time, that's one of the things that Mays and I was dealing with. He's talking about old school, new school. But I'm not sure. A lot of our people have a grip on what it takes and what's next. I'm 71 years old. Most of your leadership, there's Jesse, there's all of us. And even to my son, he'll be 50 soon this year, my daughter 49, and the ones who are 30 and 40, what do you lay out for the future? It's about a 20-year plan, a 10, 20, 30-year. Are we laying out what do we see for black people in 50 years? What do we see? What have we laid out? Because our forefathers, when they was brought to this country, enslaved, began to lay a pathway, not only for freedom. When you think of Harriet Tubman, come on, you're going to be free or die, let's go. Or you think of all the things, education, the things they laid out, hoping that at some point they had vision. And I'm not so sure that most of our leadership, and not just, you know, people don't understand leadership. It don't just be those you see. Most of our people might not have a vision. So I want, when we talk today, what's your vision? What do you see? Even though you say you want to, okay. I laugh when we're on the man you step down. Because then who you holler at or what you do, you know. Because if you don't have something laid out, that person go, another person step up and do the same thing. And that's why I've been telling y'all throughout these last few years, because, see, nobody knew about the LeGuan tape before he was reelected. But these last few years you've just been talking, and I told you you've been disconnecting government. You cannot disconnect the mayor and the alderman. They run city government. No more than you can disconnect the governor and the state legislator, or the president and the congressional, or disconnect the president of the county board and not the commissioners. We disconnect and we deal with personalities. We don't deal with plans of what we have. That we talk about education. We don't even do to you holler, run and gave that money. So you disconnect the state and the local. There's so many things that we can talk about. One of the things I brought with me, if I might see if you could ever take a picture of it and put it online. I bought a copy of I had Eddie Reed to send me a copy of this. I'm going to get some more stuff. A copy, I think I brought it with me. A copy of the survey that we used when we did our plebiscite. I hope I brought it. Then I might not have brought it. I'm going to look and see. You know, how we did, over 20,000 people answered that plebiscite. They answered, we did our survey about a black mayor, when everybody said they wanted a black mayor. And the mayor came, that all came because of our movement that we had. After black folks put their trust in Jane Byrne, and she didn't do what she was supposed to do, and it was time for her to go. And with that movement that went on, God bless Georgia Palmer and Lou Palmer's soul. By this time, we had put together CBUC, Chicago Black United Community. Now, remember, before we did the survey, there had been such a movement that all of us felt we needed to come together. But we didn't have to ditch our organization. I was president of the Parent Equalizers of Chicago. And there was other groups, Joe Banks and Nancy Jefferson, them on the west side. We had organizations from all over, from Chatham, from everywhere. And they kept their organizations. But we united under an umbrella called the Chicago Black United Community. And I guess that would be similar to CCCO, CCCO, Coordinating Council of Community Organization, when Al Raby had all of the organizations. But he had his organization was the CCCO was a integrated type of organization with the Hyde Park people. They had all kind of folks in that stuff, the communists, the this, the that. But that was the CCCO. So, Georgia and her wisdom, Georgia Palmer comes from CORE. Don't forget that. And she used the word CORE, Georgia. And Bob Lucas was with CORE. And they were there, and we'll talk about that later. Because y'all really don't know about our movement. Y'all just know the ones who are still living and who pop up and they interview to try to keep us stagnated. You just know us. But so out of that, when we were doing our fight and our struggle all over the place, I mean, we were fighting Jane Byrne. What you don't know at that point, when a person was nominated, when the mayor wanted to appoint somebody to the board or to the presidency, they had to be nominated by the mayor. It was almost similar to what you see going on with the hearings, with the Supreme Court hearings. They was nominated by the mayor, and the city council had to confirm them in order for them to be on the Board of Education and in order for them to be president of the county board. Daley went to the state legislators and changed that. Now, until you get an elected school board, you need to tell your legislators to go back to that, because any board member that was appointed, and that went for the CHA board members too, they too, any board, they had to come before the city council. And I think I got to look at all, I ain't no telling what all this man did. But when the new people might not understand that. New people watching politics might not understand that, or a lot of folks. But what happened was, we fought, not only were we fighting the CHA with Michael Scott, when Jane Byrne threw Michael Scott off the Board of Education and put those Bogan broads on, we were fighting because the Bogan broads. See, you had more active people involved in the Board of Education when they had board meetings, because it was closer to the people, because their representatives had to confirm anybody that was appointed. So we were very, so that meant that the Committee on Education was very popular, and the Committee on Education was very meaningful, which means nothing now. They just got to give somebody some money and a staff, and they have no power. So we fought the committee. We fought them before it even got to sit full city council. They were getting ready to appoint. Let's go to Ayers first. They were going to appoint Thomas Ayers to the board as board president. And we said, no, this is just one fight. We had a bunch of fights. But I want to come to this survey. Tell everybody to come here. This survey that I have. And I don't know if it's going to be clear. I'm about to get another one. And I'm going to get some more stuff. I told Eddie I'm going to meet with him and go through the C-Bug box and get some more stuff. But I don't know what you here, take that. Maybe I do it at the break because I need to tell people about it. I'm talking to Ebony, yeah. This is C-Bug. This black mayor is up to us, is up to you. So anyway, we went down and we said we wasn't going to have Thomas Ayers as the president of our board. We really wanted Manfred Byrd. That's what we thought. What's the word, Manfred Byrd? And Jane Byrne appointed Ayers anyway. So we went and we was fighting that we was not going to have Ayers as president of the Board of Education. Streeter was on the Board of Education. He was on the Committee on Education. And we lobbied Streeter. We just needed his one vote to hold up. We needed his vote extra to hold Ayers. We was lobbying all the board and all the people that was on the committee. And Streeter was a diehard Democrat, regular, didn't care, doing whatever Jane Byrne said he should do and all of that. And we kept telling Streeter, stand up to Jane Byrne. If you stand up to Jane Byrne, we'll stand with you. And that's when we came with the slogan, Streeter beat her, Harold would defeat her. That was later on. So we did get Streeter to change his vote. Oh, it was a big mess, y'all. Oh, it was a big mess. We were still at the board doing different stuff, and then Jane Byrne was going to change, got rid of Michael Scott for the Bogan Brawls, and I think some of the Bogan Brawls might be in my book, but it's a whole thing if y'all look at it, and we were fighting the Bogan Brawls because parent equalizers and the PTA, that's what y'all don't understand. The parents teacher organization, our PTAs were strong. Our areas, our schools, and the chair, we would get together and say what we was going to fight for, because we had a voice in not only the picking of the board members and all the other stuff. We had a voice, local advisory council, as to the budget of each school. It was a whole other thing other than this mess. So between that and CHA, with Twybell and all those other folks who was around during that time, Mooney, who then went on to work for, I think Mooney just now retired from the city. He was with Rahm. He was all the way up to Rahm Emanuel. There's a lot of folks that was with that. So we was fighting them. We told Jay and Marion Stamps, all of we was really, we were dealing with the whole thing. Out of that, let me just say that Georgia said we need to pull, because all we were still organization. We would be meeting and talking, and but we were still with our organizations. And Georgia said we need to have an umbrella of all these organizations. And that's how we came up with Chicago Black United Community. Now, some of y'all might have been members of the CBUC, so I'm on my CBUC callers to call in, too. But what we did, because you remember Lose Notebook, don't forget Lose Notebook, and don't forget we had our classes, our political classes, where we began to talk and educate people the function of government. Every Saturday, we had class. Folks, we gave folks certificate when they graduated from our classes of political stuff so they could understand. And then we got people ready, not only just to run against Byrne, but we put folks in position to run against the aldermen we had chosen, especially those black aldermen in the black community who was not doing anything. And the 22nd Ward was always represented, not 20, what's the ward? One of the wards over there that was always represented by a white alderman. It might not have been 22nd. Well, Stenberg. Stenberg had 22nd. That was over there. We was fighting to get rid of Stenberg, which I'll come to you later, how we fought. And really wanted. And then some of the black wards on the west side was represented by white aldermen. So we, those are the black. So what you see with all them targeting stuff, y'all want to tell the Hispanic, they got themselves together. What you see is them with our playbook. Oh, we can't never get together. That's baloney. We've always been able to pull together. And we would still be if we had not been able to pull together. It would have been over with. So what you see Chewy and all of them doing, Gutierrez, all of them, is a playbook, because we educated them and brought them through our system and put them in government. Don't ever forget that, because they were not in government. San Diego was the only Hispanic that was in government when I got there. I think his name was San Diego. But they began, they watched us and stayed on us and saw our playbook. So we educated our people, and we was having our conventions, and we was educating people about what government was. So that's why you saw all that activity at the Board of Education and other places. Well, we did get Streeter to change his vote. Jane Byrne went crazy when that happened. And then we had to have a special election. So Jane Byrne had appointed Streeter. That's why she was freaked out. And I think she read about Campbell or somebody against Streeter. We came with the slogan, Streeter beat her, Harold would defeat her. Georgia came up. Georgia was just so brilliant. Georgia Palmer. And put that button. So we had to all go over there in the 17th Ward. And we had to fight our butt off to put Streeter in there. But which lead me up to, okay, the Chicago Black United Community, where we all came together. Unified, we went back to our own individual organizations and continued our fight. The Parent Equalizers fight was to balance the scale of education, because we said the scale of education was not balanced, and it's still not balanced. And we had the majority of the schools in the city of Chicago mobilized. In fact, and the Parent Equalizers, myself, by 10 of us, had been sued for $10 million, and especially me. So we were still fighting the lawsuit. So there was a lot of things going on with that, which we'll come back to later. The principal association sued the Mollison parent. Ms. Stevenson sued me for reverse discrimination for $10 million, which we'll come back and talk about at another time. But, so we got all these things going on. We're fighting the board, even before just some nameless, faceless person called. Remember that we were fighting Jane Byrne. Easter, we had, I'm going to try to find that flyer, because we got a lot of flyers, a lot of history around. Well, we had Jane Byrne, keep your eye on the cross, but she was going to have East Ed roll at Cabrini. Some of y'all out there knew about all this. And we, Marion Sampson, all of us went out there and disrupted her East Ed roll. The same way when she decided to move over in Cabrini, the Gold Coast and the Soul Coast. And we told black folks then that they had to stand up and begin to fight for deferred maintenance in those buildings over there and begin to take care of their buildings, because the goal was to move them from Cabrini. And, of course, leadership, A lot of the leadership, especially after Marion Stamps died, sold out in terms of thinking they was going to get one thing, and they kind of sold that Cabrini parent, thinking they was going to, same way they did all the public housing, all these LACs and public housing sold out black folks. All of them sold out because if they had hung tough, like Dorothy Gottschall, which was a very good friend of mine, we would still have our buildings and it would still be something. That's a whole other discussion. But that started back there. The 21 plan started under Daley's father. And most folks don't understand the 21 plan. And 21 plan was to have us moved anyway. And that was supposed to be in 21 years, but it got interrupted. So they got back on track. And they got back on track with the 21 plan under Bill Clinton, because Bill Clinton gave Daley, not just Daley, but around the country, because public housing around the country got destroyed. He got rid of the one-for-one replacement, which said that if you tear down a unit with 12 units, then you must replace it with 12 units. So there's a lot of things he did with Cisnero and all of them. And because when Price was there in the hood, which I got to fly, it's so much stuff to tell y'all. When Price was there, Harold said, I don't give a damn about hood or mud or sud or whatever hell you call it. Black folks is not moving. We're going to stay, and we're going to make them do what they got to do. So Harold was fighting Price, who was the over hood then, to deal with the whole public housing piece. And black folks trusted Harold, Mayor Washington, even when they moved from by the lake, because we were saying that if you get people to, because black folks was living from one end of the water all the way down. I know I'm putting a lot on y'all, but I'm trying to lead up to something, and I know this needs to be. So black folks was living from one end of the lake all the way to the end of the lake, from the north to the south, and half of, because most of your lakefront liberals was not the liberal white folks, y'all. It was black folks living on the lakefront who had gotten money and moved on the lakefront. So we said, the people over there in public housing by the lake did not want to move. And Harold had gotten money to fix it up. And they began to talk to Tim Evans, was alderman then. That's why they went and got rid of. They put all kind of money on top of to get rid of Tim and put Pretwinkle in Tim Evans' place. The same forces that came after me came after Tim so they can get him out of the way so they can take black folks off the lake. Because Tim was living up to what Harold Washington had promised black folks, that they wouldn't be moved from the lake. So Harold said, go, we're going to fix these. Because Harold was fighting for deferred maintenance. He said, this is some of the money that they're going to fix these houses. Would you go out? I'm your mayor, Harold. I was over there because I was over Harold's housing committee. And I had that meeting over there. And he said, I'm the mayor. I brought him over to speak. And he said, and I guarantee you going back. But, of course, they got rid of Harold before they finished, and they never let the people came back over there by the lake. That's just an example. They was getting back on track with the 21 plan. So you got the 21 plan to move black folks. So I was telling somebody here at VON yesterday, I stopped by and I was talking to somebody, and they asked me, Dorothy, what can you do about this violence? And I really was trying to explain to them. He really didn't hear me. You follow the bullets. You follow the violence, you'll follow gentrification. And they was gentrified wherever, because they know black folks run from any kind of trouble. We don't want to stay there and fight. They just run. So you run, and they come take the land. Because I see white folks walking up and down 43rd Street. They just moved all around in Bronzeville. And you never hear about them getting shot on the drive-by. So that's just some food for thought for later. You know, they walk all, they all up in South Shore walking and bought houses. But somehow or another, they always miss getting shot, okay? Not that I want anybody shot. But I just want you to say, follow the bullets. You follow the land. It's just like if you look at, and I know I got to take a break. What time is that? Oh, what time? I can't see my, okay. I got to take a break, y'all. But you follow the bullets, you'll follow where you go. It's just like over in Kenwood, Oakland, how they did all that shooting over there, and they used the gangs, and they came out and were shooting people, and people ran, and they came back and took the place. But I'm going to try. I got to end this so I can come back and take calls. So, So out of that, that goes to 21 plans. So I got back on track with Dale. But let me go back to Black United Community. C-Buck, thank you, Eddie, for this, and I'm going to get some more stuff. So Georgia, let's put together the Black United Community, C-Buck, which was really patterned after Triple CO. And that's what we all did. And then when we all did that, then that's when we did whatever we had to do. And then we came up with the Black Political Independent Organization, BIPO, where we did teach people about the elected, what was being an alderman, what was being a state legislator, because we ran folks in the legislature, we ran folks everywhere. But we only ran folks who had went through our class. So don't y'all call me telling me about everybody's more together than we are. They're playing our playbook. Let's just look back at our playbook and see what we need to do and what we don't want to. We need to upgrade our playbook. So that's CBUC, and we put together with 20 names, and I'm going to see can I get it to put it on my website. If not, I'm going to get some more stuff, and I'm going to make it a little clearer because I didn't have a lot of ink in my fax when I got this the other day. We had 20 names on the on there, and you are over 20,000 or 30,000, almost 30,000 respondents. And we had folks to rank the order from 1 to 20 on the choice. And you had to either mail this in or bring it to CBUC's office on 37th Street. At the top of it was Carol Mosley Bronze, Reverend Milton Bronson, Roland Burrs, Manfred Bird, Margaret Burroughs, Lenore Cartwright, some of these names y'all might not know, Reverend Johnny Coleman. People gave us names that they wanted on the list. We had folks give us a list. Alderman Danny K. Davis, Alderman Marion Humes, Reverend Jesse L. Jackson, publisher John H. Johnson. Now, these are names the community gave us. We come up with these names. Alderman Chris Kelly, Attorney Anna Langford, Lou Palmer, Cesar Partee, A.A. San Marino. San Marino.
I don't know what you see.
Just know that. And that's how he got selected. But I'll go into some more when I come back. And those folks who slept late and didn't get this monologue, I'm not going over it. And we got history of what it was. The criteria was high visibility, name recognition, the highest level of integrity, most likely to live up to high ideals of themselves as a person, high ideals of good social and political morality, trustworthy in terms of serving an entire city, and yet remaining conscious and loyal to themselves and to all of Black people. The highest level of present and our previous community civic involvement, not as a mandatory requirement, but we want it, but as a guide for selection. And five, the greatest potential for winning both Black and white votes, which are commitment to Black folks. Okay? And then it talks to the senior process, that list, we're doing it down to 21. We started out with a bunch of them, and it came down to 21. Talk of Chicago, 69 WVON. Coffee tea, the conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman. Our number is 773-591-1690. We are streaming live, www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. We also on Blog Talk if you missed it. Now, I went over that. If y'all know people who don't wake up to self, you need to call them because this is very important. Get your coffee, get your tea. I'm going to be gone a minute and a half. Come on back and talk to me. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
People of Illinois, it is Grant, the genie. You cannot wish for multiple wishes, no matter what your lottery says.
What are they saying?
They're saying,
with the Illinois Lottery new multiplier instant ticket, you can multiply your prize up to 100 times for a chance to win up to $2 million. It's like wishing for multiple wishes.
Except everyone knows you can't do that.
I did. I just won. Times 25!
Ugh. Pick up your Illinois Lottery new multiplier instant tickets today. Play responsibly. Must be 18 or older to play.
America!
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, WVON host and honored veteran, inviting you to listen every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. as I host America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power regarding the treatment of veterans, retired and active, discussing concerns for affordable housing, social services, Medicare, and all services geared toward veterans. America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power.
Hello, everyone. This is Gino. Tune in to hear Dr. Coffee Malik, Jill, and me on our new show, I Had to Say It, where we put our money where our mouth is by keeping it 100 every Saturday at 5:07 p.m., where education, information, and confrontation is our theme. Tune in to I Had to Say It. You haven't heard nothing like this before.
Tune in to I Had to Say It, Saturdays at 5:07 on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Greetings, family. This is Salim Muwatil, and I'm asking you to check in with America's most astute radio audience every Saturday between 7 and 10 p.m. and astound family and friends with your bulging mind muscles. Join our global classroom where we always look for patterns in the world's chaos.
On the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Hi, Sir Henry Cheatham here, inviting you into the Classic Blues Juke Joint for some great American fun every Saturday night from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Here at the Classic Blues Juke Joint, we serve some great American cuisine, barbecue, beer, collard greens, and some great homemade brew. Put on your good clothes and good smelling perfume and come to the Classic Blues Juke Joint, and let's have a great time. That's every Saturday night, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. on the Talk of Chicago and the Voice of the Nation, AM 1690 WVON.
Hi, this is Teresa Deer, host of the Let's Get to Work show, where we talk about jobs, careers, and entrepreneurship. I invite you to join us every Saturday morning where we examine how we leverage our competencies in our wheelhouse, sharpen instruments in our toolkit, challenge obsolete models, and secure opportunities that transform our lives. Join us on this knowledge transference platform and soar with us to new heights of success right here on the Let's Get to Work show at WVON 1690 AM on Saturday mornings, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
Hashtag Teresa Deer.
Let's get it started.
Most people just hear an engine. We hear a 6.2-liter Hemi V8 with a supercharger that accelerates so fast, it'll suck the air out of your lungs and knock you back in your seat like you're an astronaut in a rocket ship hurtling through the stratosphere. But then again, we're not most people. We're the Brotherhood of Muscle. Dodge. Domestic. Not domesticated. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Hello, I'm Melvin Massey.
And I'm Howard Robertson, and we're excited that Riffin' on Jazz is here in Chicago.
As Riffin' on Jazz is your weekly visit with friends talking about jazz, the music that we love.
We're here on 1690 WVON, taking a deep dive into the jazz music and the jazz artists that you love every weekend.
Riffin' on Jazz, Saturday nights, 10 p.m., exclusively here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
The must-attend event of the year takes place Saturday, October 6th at Malcolm X College, 1900 West Jackson. It's WVON's Family Care Expo. Here is your chance to attend an action-packed day of workshops and a resource fair to meet the ever-changing needs of your family. We've got workshops and panel discussions on rethinking Black family values, law club organizing in the 21st century, accessing scholarship dollars for college, and job reentry tips for second chance citizens. There'll also be entire pavilions dedicated to men, women, and seniors. Stop by and visit with more than 30 exhibitors offering helpful resources and information that we need to build a better community. Be there Saturday, October 6th at Malcolm X College, 1900 West Jackson, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We're taking care of our family's business. The Family Care Expo is presented by Relevant Marketing and WVON. Visit WVON.com and keep listening for more details.
Hi, I'm James H. Owens. My wife Caroline and I, we're the proprietors of Divine Healing Herbs. We're located at 1621 West on 87th Street, right here in Chicago, Illinois. You can call us at 773-233-4372. Join us every Sunday morning at 6 a.m. as we discuss the latest trends in your health and nutritional needs. We'll take your calls on herbs, natural healing, and detoxifying. It's the Divine Healing Herbs Hour, every Sunday at 6 a.m. on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 a.m. WVON.
This is Linnell Harris, the host of Inspirational Perspective and your very own life coach. Start your week with me every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. by tuning into the best self-development show on radio, where we discuss how to murder mediocrity and take your life to the next level. Join me every Sunday morning to get inspired and live the best life possible. Right here on WVON 1690 AM, the Talk of Chicago.
Type 2 diabetes affects people of color, primarily African Americans in the United States, more than any other ethnic group. Why is this disease hitting communities of color like a tsunami? And what is its link to rising rates of heart disease, kidney, liver, and vision problems? What we eat, how much we eat, and our level of exercise are key factors in controlling diabetes. But are there other factors? This Saturday on the Community Health Focus Hour, join Cedric McCoy and diabetes experts to answer your questions. The Community Health Focus Hour, Saturdays at 1 p.m., sponsored by UChicago Medicine at the forefront.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. We are back, y'all. We are back. All the way back. We are back. And I'm not going to hold a long time because I got a few minutes before I go on break. I'm going to try to talk to y'all. Just trying to educate y'all a little bit. Not trying to, you know. But let me go to the phone. I'm going to go right to the phone. 7 Talk of Chicago, 1690 WN. Coffee, tea, and a conversation with me every Saturday from 6 to 8 right here in the great city of Chicago, WVON, 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. And we're on Blog Talk if you miss anything. So let me go to the phones. Hello, just a little bit. Hello, how you doing there, Mama D?
Hey, good morning. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people perish. We are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
Okay.
Barack is back with business as usual, resurrecting spiritual crime deals and abomination laws that have led us astray. He is a people of color, biracial, Kenyan American immigrant, and we are not.
Oh, yeah, it was really deep to watch him come back yesterday. And the audience was 100% black almost. And he around here I don't think he understands what people are thinking about him right now.
It's flash a picture of Michelle and Grant and skin, and we'll just be following along. But I don't think so, because where there's two or three of us understand the spiritual warfare that we're involved in.
Okay.
And Jasper Williams, don't nobody want to bring it up.
They mad about him. He was right when he said what he said.
They don't want to hear it. Some of the stuff that a woman can't raise male children, that's not true. But he was
a young man do need the influence of a black man. I'm sorry. It used to be even if a mother had to raise her children, there was uncles and there was a community around those boys, around those children to help them, even if it was girls. Our community, that's why we got to go back to that community input. That's what I think, Mama D. Thank you, Mama D. No, I think that a hen can't teach a rooster how to crow. I don't care what nobody say. Unless you want that rooster to start sounding like a hen. a rooster can't lay eggs. But they're coming up with this new stuff and planting eggs. Next time they're going to plant them where a rooster can, I guess. But it used to be the uncles and the neighborhood and stuff that did a lot of that stuff. So, you know, we have to go back to our own playbook. Don't let nobody define us, what we have to do. We know what it, because we came here and they divided us and we was able to stay together without a household. We had a family. It's a family. We still had something else. Brother Hall, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Alderman Tillman. I need you to give me just a couple of minutes. Do I have it, or you want to hold me over? Because I need to get this out. I'm fired up. I waited all night. I got up at 3 o'clock waiting on your show.
Brother Hollow, you know I'm getting ready to go on break, don't you? Well, let me take Eunice, because she don't never really be long. Put Brother Hall back on hold. Lord have mercy. Eunice, how
Hi,
you
doing? Hi, Dorothy.
Hey, I know you went through one of those classes.
Oh, yes, and thank you for going down memory lane. I met you doing Mollison, and when we formed Seabuck at Holy Angels Church, you and I and Betty Magus and a few more, and boy, Marion Stampson at Tranquility Marksman, we were on it, and thanks again.
Thank
Dorothy.
You for mentioning Tranquility Marksman. That's another idea.
Yes.
That's another example. She brought her organization in. We brought all our organizations in on an umbrella. But we educate our people. That's what I said. Don't say we can't go to do what we got to do. There's other folks that's using our playbook right now. But we got a playbook. We better dust it off.
And we didn't take no stuff. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Eunice. Eunice went through that class. How many minutes I got over there? I ain't got no minutes, y'all. Y'all got to hold on 7-7. And the line is lit up. The board is lit up. I got a few empty you can call on those lines in between time. But I'm really trying to say we have a playbook. And we have stuff we can do. Don't let nobody fool you. Talk of Chicago, 69WN, 773-591-69. We're streaming live, www.viewin.com, iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. Facebook, group Facebook. We everywhere, y'all. Get your coffee, get your tea. I'll be back in about 5 minutes, 3 minutes. Call your friends. Come on back. We're going to finish this educational program we're doing today. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago is 1690 WVON, Sherwin, Chicago.
Yesterday, President Trump threw him under the bus.
I don't know Papadopoulos. I don't know him. I saw him sitting in one picture at a table with me. That's the only thing I know about him. I don't know him. But they got him on, I guess, a couple of lies.
Papadopoulos is the first campaign aide to be sentenced in Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation of Russian interference in the campaign. Former President Obama has come out of a quiet period swinging, landing some heavy blows on Republicans.
Actively blocking legislation that would defend our elections from Russian attack. What happened? Their sabotage of the Affordable Care Act has already cost more than 3 million Americans their health insurance. And if they're still in power next fall, you better believe they're coming at it again. They've said so.
Obama spoke at the University of Illinois. A busy hurricane season, says meteorologist Derek Van Dam.
We're rounding the climatological peak of the Atlantic hurricane season, which is centered around September 10th. And, well, it's fitting that we have so many named storms across the Atlantic at the moment. Here we've got Florence, Olivia, newly formed tropical storm Helene, tropical depression 9. We have tropical storm Mangkhut and Norman.
Tropical storm Florence is expected to become a major hurricane as it heads toward the East Coast next week. An animal rights group has sued the U.S. Department of Agriculture for information on the deaths of hundreds of kittens used in taxpayer-funded research. The group said it learned that cats were being used in experiments at a research center in Maryland. I'm Christopher Cruz.
I used to post to job boards.
Only to sort through tons of resumes.
Just to find a few candidates for
my sales team.
My hair salons.
That old process was
not smart. Then I went to ZipRecruiter.
Its technology scans resumes for me to find the right people.
And actively invites them to apply.
So I get qualified candidates fast. Smart.
See why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. Try it now for free at ZipRecruiter.com/try. That's ZipRecruiter.com/try. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Based on Trustpilot rating of hiring sites with over 1,000 reviews.
Labor Day means fall is just around the corner. So are Labor Day savings at the Home Depot. Up to 40% off appliances, like the LG stainless steel gas range, a special buy now at just $648, over $250 off. If you're about to get busy with fall fun, family and traditions, you could use some help in the kitchen. Labor Day savings, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, while supplies last. See store for details, valid through September 12th.
Central Park was one of John Lennon's favorite things about New York City. Yesterday, the U.S. Postal Service unveiled a John Lennon stamp at Central Park.
There's a film of John Lennon goofing around on the bandshell in Central Park. That's where his stamp was unveiled. Sean Ono Lennon said his father fought hard to get a U.S. green card.
My father would have been really thrilled to be accepted in this way.
Yoko Ono said it was fitting for John's stamp to be a forever stamp.
When John died, I said, there'll be no funeral for John, because John is going to be forever.
She walked across the stage with the help of a cane and her son. It was an improvement over last year when she spent some time confined to a wheelchair. Steve Kastenbaum, New York.
If Serena Williams beats Naomi Osaka in the finals of today's U.S. Open, she will tie the all-time record of 24 Grand Slam titles. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The must-attend event of the year takes place Saturday, October 6th at Malcolm X College, 1900 West Jackson. It's WVON's Family Care Expo. Here is your chance to attend an action-packed day of workshops and a resource fair to meet the ever-changing needs of your family. We've got workshops and panel discussions on rethinking Black family values, law club organizing in the 21st century, accessing scholarship dollars for college, and job reentry tips for second chance citizens. There'll also be entire pavilions dedicated to men, women, and seniors. Stop by and visit with more than 30 exhibitors offering helpful resources and information that we need to build a better community. Be there Saturday, October 6th at Malcolm X College, 1900 West Jackson, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We're taking care of our family's business. The Family Care Expo is presented by Relevant Marketing and WVON. Visit WVON.com and keep listening for more details.
Martin's International presents the second annual Jerk Seafood and Vegan Festival, Saturday and Sunday, September 8th and 9th in Park 540 at 2400 South State Street in the Chicago Loop. It's a food celebration with music, art, crafts, games, and more for the entire family. Live in concert, Kevin Little, Jack Raddick, Sister Nancy, the creator of the Cha-Cha Slide, Mr. C, and some 20 other reggae, soca, pop, hip-hop, gospel, spoken word, gospel performers, and dance DJs. Advance tickets only $5. Limited VIP tickets are available. Visit jsvfest.com or call us at 877-973-4423. Sponsored by Chicago Park District, WVON, La Fruteria, Inc., Rogers Park Fruit Market, Old World Market, Wallace Funeral Home, Rasta Love Punch, this station, and others.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
Hashtag Dorothy Tillman on 1690, the talk of Chicago.
Don't need the road we try. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
I got some difficult days ahead, because I've been to the mountaintop. And I looked over, and I seen the promised land. Might not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. I know those of you who are now, you know, trying to walk in Jackie Robinson's footsteps, of Muhammad Ali and Jack Johnson and all the other folks who really wasn't making much money, or the people who was on television who really wasn't making much, but they was making their strive and bringing stuff back to the community. But we're going to open these doors up, and we're going to make sure that you get equality with what you get. But I'm not worried. I will die. I will give my life for you. And all of those people in the civil rights movement will stand up and fight for you, because when you reap the education, the political and economic benefit, I know you're going to come back and rebuild communities. That was the thinking of Dr. King. That was the thinking of Jim Belvin, Diane, all those people who fought in this struggle, people you don't even know, Leon Hall, all the people that fought in this struggle that you never think about who fought. And they thought that our people would do it. So we get excited about looking at skin color, people there in high places, but not because they bring anything back. Before, who, Joe Louis? Joe Louis opened up Joe Louis Milk. Do some of y'all remember Joe Louis Milk? People who then, they would bring stuff back to the community. So don't tell me that we can't do that. And that's what Dr. King thought. He thought that. That's what he was saying. When you get there, can you follow those examples? But they did not. It is 7 o'clock, wherever you are in the country, in the state, in the city, in the world. Take a deep breath, y'all. Take a deep breath. It is time to get that black to the brain, from the brain to the heart. You need the energy. We're going to do it with the Trinity. Three. Black. Come on, y'all. Black. One more time. Ooh, it feels so good. Black. Is that black enough for you?
Believe in yourself and believe in
somebody.
As I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own emancipation.
Woo! Come on, y'all. Let's do it. Ain't nothing to it but to do it.
Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. Somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of.
Ooh.
Somebody told a lie.
A big lie.
They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black.
Ooh, black
always
is beautiful.
Something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure.
And now it's color. You tan. Yeah, anything but us, y'all.
But I want to get the language right tonight.
Get the language right. Get the language right.
I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Yes, I'm black and I'm proud of it, and I'm black and I'm beautiful. Every day tell your children that. I used to, and I still have for my grandchildren. I had a mirror in all my children's room, and just a mirror right by the door before they go out. And I would always make them look in the mirror. I always let them look in the mirror and see how beautiful they was and how smart they were. And how I loved them. Even on the way out the door, I would kiss them. Say, look at yourself before you go. I love you now. But even in, you know, they always, my grandchildren, they have to look in the mirror when they're there with me. At my house, I don't know what's in theirs, but when they're in my house, there's a mirror. And I'd be wanting them to see who they are at all times. Okay, we're back, y'all. I tell y'all, I did such a big monologue. Those who missed it at 7, I don't hate to go back over because it's going to take so much time. But we're back. Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. A coffee, tea, and a conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman, right here in the city of Chicago. Our number is 773-591-1690. I think we got about one or two lines open up. That's all. And we are streaming live on www.von.com. We take us on iHeartRadio, wherever you go. We're also on Blog Talk. We're on Facebook, Group Facebook, and BlackPlanet.com. I put this Black Mayor is up to you on my Facebook. It might not be real clear, so I'm going to clear it up later because I got to get some clear copies. This wasn't very clear because my facts wasn't clear. I'm going to try to see what to do here. It's on my coffee tea page if you want to try to get it on coffee tea. And we were talking about what we did as a people, and I don't want nobody to call here tell me how we not together and we can't do this. We've been together since we've been in this country. If we wasn't together, babe, we'd be extinct. It just so happened we have folks get in our midst, and they take us the other direction, and they begin to feed that to us. Get that out of your brain, because if you tell your computer that, then you will believe that. We got people doing our playbook right now. As I said earlier, there were we had San Diego in city council, but we began to grow and to go. We fought Stenberg. Stenberg was a gangster to get somebody, we said Latina then. They weren't Hispanic there. And to the city council, that's how we got after Rudy Lozano. Somebody came in his house and he opened the door for him, and they said, gonna let him use the bathroom. They came out the bathroom and shot him. Somebody rode up on the bike and knocked on his door and went in. And he ended up dead. So then we ended up putting Garcia, who was his campaign manager. He always managed to be around somewhere to slide in, not of earning, but to slide in. You know, like some damn, you know, just slide like he slid in to go down south, and then he put Munoz in there, and Munoz wants to be mayor, and his daddy, I don't know what he's doing any time. He was doing all them old phony giving those folks those phony license and Social Security number. Look it up. His father was over there in 22nd Ward doing all that stuff. And I don't know whether he in jail or what he did. But he was doing that. I can imagine what he'd do for the sanctuary city. So then he put Munoz. Now he slid in. Now he done slid into Congress. Just like he went in and done that to the commissioner. You know, y'all have to watch those things. You got some black folks angry at me and the rest of the black folks who refuse to support him for mayor. Why? Because if he was mayor, you could hang it up. Now you got the clerk. She say she wants to run. Well, somebody better be thinking about running for her seat. Anybody ran for clerk, city clerk, since Bill Walls did. City clerk have a lot of jobs. What you don't know also is that the Secretary of State job is going to be up soon. Who you think is getting positioned for the Secretary of State? Y'all won't even think about politics. You're not being educated. That's what CBUC was about. Secretary of State, Mendoza, just white gonna slide right in there. There is political education and political movement going on, but it's not for us. And even we're not grooming, pushing out, educating our people enough so they can have the knowledge to go in. We got other folks. We got people of color we getting ready to put it on. Because somehow or another, you know, we'd be accepted when we do that. But like we said here in the requirement for these 20 people, 21 people that was on this list, that one of the criteria, high visibility, name recognition, highest level of integrity. You have to understand that. It said most likely to live up to high ideals of themselves as a person. Because if you don't have integrity and you don't have no high ideals of yourself, how you going to do it? If you can't take care of yourself and do yourself, how you going to do it for somebody else? High ideals of social and political morality. That's very important. Did y'all hear? I remember Georgia sitting there. We was going over this stuff. Georgia, follow your spirit. Number three was trustworthiness in terms of serving an entire city, but yet remaining conscious and loyal to themselves and to all the black people. Because if you're loyal to yourself, there's just certain things you're not going to do, whether you're behind the doors or in front of the doors. And don't have, like Harold said, because I love black people don't mean I hate anybody else. Number four, the highest level of present in our previous community. You got to be present like community. You're doing something in the community now. Civic involvement. It's not a mandatory requirement, but as a guide for selection. And five, the greatest potential for winning both black and white votes. Through this tedious process, the list was dwindled down to 21 names with one tie count denoted by Astra. Those that had the count, I'll tell you about those. And now no longer valid as tied due to whatever we went on. But it's the whole thing talking about the election, and we put them in alphabetical order. And over 20-some thousand people returned this. But remember, we had put together CBUC, the Black United Community, and we was under an umbrella. And those names, Carol Mosley Bronze, the people who won, the way it came in wasn't the order of how it was, but these are the people, names that people brought. We let the community gave us names. Then nobody jump out and say, hey, my face is black, and I'm running for, and you have, what is your high morality or your social, what have you done or what do you plan to do for black people besides being black? You know, don't take no wooden nickels, as Harold said. Harold say, Dorothy, that's what he said, Tillman, we got to make sure these black folks are with food. Because you can give black folks anything, if black, because black folks love black folks. Harold said, you can give them a wooden nickel if you paint it black. And he and I had a running joke. When I go out, he said, look, don't take no wooden nickels. And tell folks don't take no wooden nickels. And nobody understood that, but he and I, when he would say that to me, because he had said, paint it black, and you give them a wooden nickel, and the sucker will go to the store trying to spend it. Carol Mosley Bronze, Reverend Milton Bronson, Roland Burrs, Manfred Bird, Margaret Burroughs, Lenore Cartwright, some of these names young folks don't even know, Reverend Johnny Coleman, Alderman Danny K. Davis, Alderman Marion Humes, Reverend Jesse Jackson, like I said, it's in an order, the name's in order, alphabetical order, Publisher John A. Johnson, Alderman Cliff Kelly, Attorney Anna Langford, Lou Palmer, Cesar Partee, A.A. Rayner, y'all don't know who A.A. Rayner, y'all just thought he was just in the funeral home. Rainer's going on. Rainer was very active for black people, just like he and Leakes and all of them. You know, Taylor, you had a bunch of folks who, business folks, that was really for black folks. And Rainer used to be a Republican independent city council member. Renard Robertson, Congressman Gus Savage, Attorney Thomas Todd, and Congressman Harold Washington, others. And people mailed them when they brought them to the CBOK headquarters on 37. Then we had the plebiscite at Bethel. And I always remember this. Harold says the plan, not the man. So y'all can be looking at the man if you want to and don't have a plan. It's all over anyway. Because we have a habit of putting somebody in because their face is black and they turn on us and we be upset. We just went through that. All we put anybody in, I don't care what color they are. Some people take money and they go out knocking on doors, getting you, I'm going to get in. No candidate that's running for anything in this city or in this state right now has said anything they're going to do for the black community. Whether it's a TIF, whether it's education, contracts, or nothing. Don't have to do it. Get my wooden nickel. We're back, 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.wn.com and on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Blog Talk. If you missed it, you can go back and hear what I had to say on my monologue, because I'm not going to keep going over and over. But there's a playbook. There's a playbook. We're on blackplanet.com, Facebook group, Facebook. They're being shattered us off of Twitter. That's why we didn't do it. They say I'm too black. They say I'm a racist. I love Farrakhan. My stuff is black and all that stuff. Black. So they're being shattered. I already knew about the shadow ban. Y'all just finding out. Y'all too busy hating to know anything, you know. It's really funny. But anyway, we're back, y'all, and I'm going to take some calls. And I'm going to go to Brother Hall first. Before I go, I want to tell y'all Art. Before I go to thing Art, I was really Art Porter passed, and his funeral is the day. It's probably is the wake at 10, at 1252 North Austin, and the funeral probably is at 11. I'm so hurt. I'm really hurt. He was a great person. I'm gonna try and get by there. I'm not sure because I have to go to Mrs. Clay's funeral. But Art Porter is 1252 North Austin. He was a great man. But I have Mrs. Clay, who was also one of my leaders. Her funeral is tomorrow. It's today. I meant today, y'all, both of y'all, today. And I have to go to her funeral to make sure that, because I have to speak at her funeral. Her funeral is today. At 10 o'clock, wake is at 10, the funeral is at 11, at the First Corinthian Baptist Church, 922 South Keeler, 922 South Keeler. That's Crystal Overton's mother. Crystal worked for Congressman Davis, but Mrs. Clay used to be one of my strongest community reps because we didn't say precinct captains. But her funeral is there. I'm going to try to make both go to Art and to Mrs. Clay. Catherine Clay, who used to be the precinct captain over there at the Rosenwald, y'all. And that's the day. Okay, now let me go to the phone. I got 30 minutes here. Yeah, this time go by so fast. I'm going to go to Brother Hall because I told him I would come back to him. Brother Hall.
Thank you so much, Alderman Tillman.
You're
here
welcome.
I go again apologizing to you. I don't like keep apologizing to you, but I must because I'm a man first.
You don't have to. I love you.
Oh, no question. And the reason why I'm apologizing is because I, too, was bamboozled by Chuy Garcia. Let me just tell you this for the record. Let me just say this for the record. And this
okay.
is something that I definitely know.
Okay.
So VON family, listen to Brother Hall if you never listen to me. Gutierrez is their candidate. Bert, if you look at his ward, is 80% Hispanic. They cut a deal back. Ron didn't just wake up and say he's not going to run. He already knew that he wasn't going to run. What they were doing was trying to throw us off, and that's exactly what they did. They stacked the deck with all these candidates, you know, and at 5 months out, now we're talking about a plebiscite. Come on, please, get serious.
No, I was talking about, I'm laying out what we did, you know. What we did, we still can pull if we want to do something. But I don't know how we're going to do it because you have to have a historical context. And as we said, Brother Hall, and when we did the thing with Mayor Washington, when we did the survey, I was talking about the survey we did, we gave a criteria. I don't see none of these folks who's running who have this criteria, black or white, when it comes to black people.
Organized Progress was my organization, and we were just like parent
equalizers
in terms of what you was doing over there. Mm-hmm. So we all came together. We put our differences aside and came together because for the sake of black people.
Right.
Well, that's not going to happen today. And remember, I said
don't say that. Don't say that. Let's hope it does, because you and I, we're still around.
I hope it does too. But until then, I'm glad you lead me right into this. There will never be a victory for us unless we understand organizational power.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have an organization, you have no power and you get no respect. One, you have to give back goods and services. You have one candidate in the race right now could set up shop with all the money he got and give the goods and services, and we can come out victory. But they're not listening. They got people in their ear around them that don't understand grassroots politics.
Well,
and so with that said, and I thank you for letting me...
Well, before you go, let me just say this. You said that you had your organization. What was the name of your organization again?
That they got the fix in. So if we don't,
but no, well, listen to me, brother Hall. I'm saying you verified that we brought all our organizations together with a commitment we was gonna do. We didn't give up our organization. We're back and forth, but we came on behalf of black people. We've got to do this. Black folks are playing with us. And some of the black folks, white folks got. And even when you look at the governor's race, when you look at the state reverend, any of these people running have not addressed the black community at all. That's so embarrassing. That's terrible. They have not addressed us, Brother Hall, at all.
I didn't hear you,
Alderman. I said any of these people running for any office, even now, nobody's addressing us. It's like they hadn't. Like they scared if they say black, they don't get beaten down. They won't even address the sanctuary city or nothing. They scared.
That's because they know that they send people. You just got through talking about the wood nickel. That's a serious thing in our community. Understand that wood nickel. But let me lastly say this. Thank you so much for what you did on that guy's show in the morning. Now, lastly, Alderman Tillman, can you imagine Avis Mohammed morning show, Alderman Dorothy Tillman afternoon show, Cliff Kelly in the evening? Man, that would be a hookup. Y'all have a good day.
Bye-bye. Oh, Jesus, I tell you, God bless the child and have his own. Lamont, maybe we'll find that, huh?
Good morning, Alderman Tillman.
Good morning.
And first of all, I want to, Brother Hall, what he just said, you, Alderman Tillman, you have to come on the radio more. The people know, you keep denying that, Alderman Tillman, saying fine wine and all that stuff. The people are crying out for you. God has put you in a position where you need to be heard constantly. We're suffering, Alderman Tillman, so much. And people get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to hear you. And you've got to try to come on the radio more. Because I don't turn on the radio no more less to listen to you. That's all I do. Because you feed my soul. And first of all, Alderman Tillman, I want to ask you, when was that speech Dr. King gave said we have to sign? When was that done?
Said we have to move on. So the speech I play all the time?
Yes. When was that speech made, Alderman Tillman?
I'll let you know before I go off the air.
Okay.
I'll try to find out. Either I'll let you know.
If he said that then, we have to sign. Oh.
Yeah. Well, you know, Dr. King made a lot of great speeches, and he talked a lot. Dr. King was a nationalist, and people don't want to accept that. Dr. King believed in the Negro and the colored people. He fought for Negro, colored, and black people. But they want you to take for granted this so-called I Had a Dream. When I Had a Dream was only one little line. Dr. King talked about reparations. They don't want black people to know the real Dr. King. They really don't want, and we perpetuate that mess, too. That's why I try to play stuff that he'd have, but I'll let you know.
I love that speech because he said we have to sign with our own pen. We can't talk about
you probably can find it online, and I'm going to tell everybody to find it. You might be able to find it online without the music.
I want to find that.
Okay, I'll try to find out. I'll tell Ebony to try to find out from you. You might be able to find that one online. I'll tell Ebony, okay?
Okay, well, one more thing, because what you're saying about people using this, your ex-president came in there, and we're spiritual people. He never talks about God.
No,
never
no.
did
uh-uh.
you hear him say a word about God. And then on last point, we got a guy who looks like us running for attorney general. Every time you see a commercial, what is he talking about? Gay issues.
I don't care. You see, I tell you, it's gay and sex. Everything's sex, no economics. Nobody's talking about economics. If you're not going to address the economic question in the black community, do not talk to me. That's all you haven't heard me talk about. Anybody who's supporting anybody or nothing. If it's not about economics and education, do not talk to me. Go talk to that wooden nickel. Thank you so much. It's about education and economics, what we're going to do here. Even when you talk about the Board of Education, you don't have an elected school board. That's all right. The state reps and the state senators can give the power back to the mayor, where the city council is able to confirm and to discuss. I don't care what you might think. At least they give you a voice that you as a people can go and see what people are going to be before they get on that board. And that's a token, but they should put it back. Because if we had not had the ability to go and question Streeter and to question those folks when they was getting on the Board of Education, you wouldn't have had, might not have had this movement that we had. But because we was able to do that, okay, let me go to this phone. Y'all been waiting a long time. Please, 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 thank you for waiting. Let me go to, who was up here? Brian, who was up and waiting for 33? Brian, let me go to you. Okay. Brian. Oh, sorry. Hold on, Tony. Hold on, Robert. I got to go to Brian. He's been waiting longer. I'm trying to do it in order. Put him back on hold. I try to get y'all in order. Brian?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm listening to the conversation. I'm going to tell y'all something. Now, the biggest fight is going to pop up in this mayoral election. This is why Obama, and I'm looking for, what's his name, the chairman of the Democratic Party to come into Chicago. You got hundreds of thousands of undocumented workers.
That's why they giving them those cards, which they should not have. And you noticed that when you turn on TV, national, local, they done put these black folks out here talking and fighting for this mess, talking and fighting for anything and not. None of them were talking about economics for black folks. I cannot say, I'm with this, I'm with that. Don't say nothing about economics. And the girl that's the clerk for the city, for the Chicago City Council, for Chicago City, her and Rahm Emanuel gave these undocumented workers some cars, and now they're going to let them vote. And if you go to the DMV, when you go get your license, they automatically register you. There's some deep stuff here. You hear me? He gone. But that's real deep. He really gone. Let me try to stay on task now. Let me come on down. If I mess up, please forgive me. I'm going to have to go. Since we run out of time, I'm just going to go down this board. I might not be able to read what's being said here, but I'll try to do it. Okay. Who is this? Hello?
Ronnie P.
Hey, Ronnie P.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My sister.
Good morning.
I want to, you know, get the listeners to understand why our situation is the way it is. We must know why we're stuck in this condition. We must go out and vote. That's one. And we must understand the problems in our community. Only our community look like this. We're the only one who've been stuck in this situation. I want to ask the listeners and everyone else to look up the word the boule. T-H-E.
Oh, the boule.
Boule.
The boule came after my man. Yeah, these boule folks is deep here. I know the talented. It's really deep. We have to get into it another time. I'm familiar with the boule. You too much of time. Yo, I tell you, I love my listeners. I love my listeners so much. Lord have mercy. Robert, how you doing? Robert, are you there?
Oh, I'm here. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in the hospital. I just caught you. Okay. Yeah, you mentioned that something.
You in the hospital?
Yes, when I loosened you on iHeart.
Okay, well, God bless you. I hope you be better. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, you were saying that there's some people who have not addressed issues in the black community. Tony Preckwinkle has by overtaxing us, shutting down health care. Todd Strozier had a balanced budget.
Yes, he did.
She came in and wrecked. She campaigned against that budget, wrecked it in an attempt.
But half a penny, huh?
Absolutely, and attempted to correct it by adding this beverage tax on last year.
Well,
and
that's that Wooden Nickel syndrome that Harold was talking about.
Right, and then now she's you talk about people sliding and slipping. She's slick as mule snot because she's attempting to come back and bamboozle people by becoming the mayor. She should be voted out with the upcoming election.
Well, look, don't let your blood pressure get up. Just keep listening. Herb and get out. Let's talk when you get out, Robert.
I'm going to a good fight.
Okay. Go. Bye-bye. Lord, don't spend no wooden nickels. Don't take it to the store because you can't cash it. Know that now. You can't cash no wooden nickels. Reverend Darius.
Hello, Ms. Dorothy Tillman. I'm a fan of yours, Facebook friend as well.
How you doing?
I listen to you every weekend, but I was wondering, because I heard you on May's show, I'm in full support of what you're saying. I'm representing the young generation.
Okay.
And
we need you.
We were
you're
out
our
there.
Warriors.
Yes, ma'am. We were out there organizing, and we marched on Rahm. We marched to shut down, you know, streets and expressways, and we put the pressure behind him to resign. And beyond that, all these mayoral candidates that's running for mayor, It's too many of them.
Well, ain't nothing I'm saying. They talking loud and saying nothing. Oh, that Jay Brother talking loud and saying nothing. That's why I read this whole thing with the whole, when they want to, everybody want to act like they know how Harold got elected, what was happening. They don't even know nothing about the organization or how we did stuff. That's why I read the criteria. Now, let me just say about this march. I really respected what y'all did out there. I called somebody. I was really upset when the police department from both the state and the city, they want to make you think it was just a state. But Father Flager, who's a friend of mine, and I was out of town when he had the march, thousands of people on the damn run. Rahm and Johnson made it a point of telling the state troopers, which the state troopers have a responsibility to protect the expressway, just like they have a responsibility to clean it up, to stand down. And Johnson put his arm around Father Flager, and they let him go on, and they didn't arrest nobody. I don't care if they had thousands. This was 1,000 or 5,000. You went on the north side where those white folks was, and they arrested you. Now, I had to have a discussion with somebody. I said, look, I supported the march over there on the Dan Ryan, but I also supported the march on Kennedy. And nobody should say, well, there ain't that many. I told them, it doesn't matter how many that you had. The fact that you did it, what folks don't know is that the night that Jimmie Lee Jackson got shot in Perry County, it wasn't that many black folks over there praying, because they was praying at the jail because James Orange was locked up. But that created, we ended up coming across the bridge. And when we were each one about Rosie Park, Mrs. Park was just one person who refused to give a seat to a white person. So it's not the many, it's the act. And black folks should praise you for that and know that there's two sets of rules in two cities, because when you went there, you got locked up. You went here and you got your arms put around you.
And that's the most important thing we need to have, Mr. Tillman, is this intergenerational dialogue and intergenerational unity to get us the mayor that we want. And, you know, if it's not a black mayor, I'm not supporting them.
Well, I'm not supporting no Hispanic mayor. I'm sorry. Y'all get mad at me. Gutierrez can hang it up, because Gutierrez, we brought Gutierrez in office. Harold said, Dorothy, Tillman, go over there and give me Gutierrez. I took all my captains over in that ward. And we fought. We was fighting daily in mail. And we got 90% of the black votes out, and that's how he got elected. And he turned on us. Don't come bamboozling us, selling us old no wooden nickel. Thank you, Reverend Darius. Oh, my God, this time I got away. Y'all, I got to, I'm going to try to not talk so much and listen to y'all, because I got 15 minutes, and I'm going to try to listen to you. But I do want to hear what Williams got to say about. Were you a member of BIPO, Williams?
Yes, I was. I remember going to those meetings. And we at those days, we had an infrastructure of organizations. Like I said, we had an infrastructure. Because I can remember when we helped Judge Freeman become the first black on the Supreme Court.
Right.
But at the same time, right now, with Prickwinkle saying she's going to run for mayor, we should organize now to take that spot back. Tell Todd Stroger to get his organization together. We're going to take that spot back.
Well, see, not only do we have to look at the you look at that, but you also got the Jesse White who's over there, Secretary of State. Jesse's going to be gone in a minute. Mendoza planning on taking Jesse White's spot. You got the clerk spot. See, we don't need nobody just playing, jumping up, someone run. These people got to go by this criteria that BIPO and C-Buck had. You heard me talk about the criteria. And don't say we're not together. Other folks are using our playbook. So there's a lot of stuff going on, even with our state reps and our state senators. They can do something about you. We want to put a referendum on to have an elected school board. No, give the power back to the city that you had given before so the people can have a discussion about it. There's a lot of stuff that can be done. But black folks don't understand politics. They talk about the First Amendment, and they don't even know, William, the Constitution. I'm telling everybody, study the Constitution. Study everything there is to study about this government if you're going to fight it so you can understand what you're dealing with.
I agree. Like I said, but we need to move aggressively on, like I said, all these positions, because we can take them all if we just work
together. Well, we can work. Once people see that you're doing something, then you build a coalition without sitting at the table taking crumbs. You
right.
Can't build no coalition. You sitting at the table hungry.
Amen.
To negotiate, mean I've already ate. Because you sit at the table hungry, You're going to eat anything, and you might try to spin a wooden nickel. Thank you so much. Frank, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, my beautiful sister. How you doing?
I'm all right.
My sister, I, too, enjoyed you on the Maze Jackson show. and I too, wish you was on the air more. At least go on the Maze Jackson show more, because you can show them how to interact with the callers better. And you told him, right, don't ask me that question. You should ask the caller that question. But see, that's what he does. That's why a lot of top callers don't call the show no more. But my sister, I believe Willie Wilson is speaking out, because there's only four methods of communication known to mankind. That's verbal, nonverbal, direct, and indirect. Willie Wilson is nonverbally directly showing that he understands he's going to address the issue of black people. He's not going to white churches passing out money. He's going where black people are passing out money.
Well, I think Larry can pass out money, but some other things got to go along with that, too. And I have a lot of respect and love for Wilson. To just go out and give, that's almost, and that's deeper than James Orange giving out hot dogs. But, I mean, just to give somebody some money to help them, the stuff got to be deeper than just giving the money. So if that's who you're with, you got to have a discussion with him to lay out a whole holistic approach to it. And people do need help. I don't mean that, Frank. You understand what I'm saying? Hello, Frank.
Yes, my sister. This man shows me that he has the backbone of a Muhammad Ali and the charisma of Harold Washington. And we
well,
don't
all right. Now, you done laid it out, Willie. Backbone of Muhammad Ali and the charisma
right.
of Harold Washington. That is that. That's your slogan right there, if you listen, Willie. That's your slogan. Jeff.
Good morning, Queen Sister. Hey, I just want to quickly say, yeah, we need to, off the top, get rid of those six and keep mentioning the names of those six that were trying to support Rahm Emanuel before he ran, so we can tar and feather those Negroes with run them out. We do not need a Tony Preckwinkle because we're going to need black contractors to work in the city. Secondly,
here again, you want to move off of hate, tar, and feather. We need to put together a strategy how we're going to do stuff, because I don't know who the six was, but it's deeper than the six. It's almost like the silent six, but it's deeper than the six that say tar and feather who stood with Rahm Emanuel. That might be a bit deep. We need to look at strategically what we want to do. We can't move from a position of hate. We got to move from a position of strategy, Jeff.
And apologize to you now because Wednesday I called him boo-hooing to Al Sharpton about not going with Chuy Garcia. So I'm glad he turned around because I heard him on the Al Sharpton show on satellite while I was at work. And lastly, you say we're not together, but then again, if we have people that want to go for some Hispanic or someone else that's not in our, you know, in our interest, it would be split again. So that's it.
Post-traumatic slavery syndrome, my brother. Post-traumatic. Thank you. You know, everybody get with us just to use us. Hey, my back ain't strong enough to carry no more. I don't care cotton. I don't carry everything. I ain't carrying you no more. Get off my back. Man song.
Hi, good morning. This is Michael O'Connor. How you doing?
All right, how you doing?
Filming.
All right.
I'm fine. You know what? I know you know platforms. And I just wish that our community was much more educated about individual platforms. What are these candidates going to do? What are they going to do in terms of public sector as it concerns our health disparities? What are they going to do specifically as it concerns our economic disparities?
Well, I think it's economics, employment, other stuff. You know, a platform. We need to. Did you hear what I read off about what the stuff that the criteria we did with CBUC and BIPO?
Yes,
we got to put together a criteria.
People.
Yeah, well, we got to put together a criteria. You know, I don't want to despair Jesse for having his meeting the other day, but I wasn't sure what kind of criteria they presented when they met. I think if they wanted to meet, they could have met. They didn't have to have a press conference right away. They should have just laid out some criteria. That's kind of the things I didn't kind of, you know, I talked to a couple of my brothers and I said, well, do you think y'all should have laid out some criteria? You know, it's like, let me hurry up. Sometimes they used to say haste make waste. You know, sometimes you got to look at what you're doing and then move. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's talk about. I got 15 minutes, Mike. My board is lit up. I'm going to try to give everybody a minute. But
all right.
Okay.
Well, thank you. All I want to do is just hear everybody's platforms, and we need to be educated about that.
And I'm going to put more stuff
that's
on.
Our responsibility as a group of people.
Okay. I love you for that. Thank you. No, we got to. Hey, y'all. These folks think that I'm off the chart, but I don't care. Mansung, I thought I had you before. How you doing?
Hey, I'm okay, sister. I've been down in Jacksonville, Florida for about 10 days.
Yeah.
First of all, let's keep the Honorable Philip Jackson of the Black Star Project in our thoughts, meditations, and prayers.
Okay, let's
you know, he's
on the
been
subject.
A real warrior for us.
Okay, we're going to pray for him. Now, stay on the
right.
subject. Okay.
Now, very quickly, we have a major victory forcing the mayor not to run again. Don't get it twisted. He just didn't come up with that. And let's complete the revolution, Sister Tillman, by ousting Rahm's aldermen, symbolized in the black aldermanic carcass. They are neo-colonialists putting their class interests over the racial interests of our people. And I think we need to all plug into the 10x10 to win. I think Mark Wallace is building on the history of what you were doing back with Seabuck. And, you know, that whole thing with United Black Communities.
Okay.
We need some of these folks running for mayor to help us oust Sawyer.
No, we need them. They need to give anybody running to give us a plat other than stuff and getting up the wooden nickel man song. Did you hear my opening monologue at 7 o'clock? At 6 o'clock?
Huh?
Did you hear me at 6 o'clock when
I heard you? And it's great, and I agree with you that we got to push the positive, as Kwame Ture talk.
Okay.
You know, not the negative. Push the positive, but let's plug in, go online to 10x10 to win, and get 10 of your friends.
Okay, I got you. Let me go. I got the whole board, all of my board is lit up, and I got 10 minutes. I'm gonna try to get everybody in. Okay, thanks, man. So, I don't know who's on that other line, or who's that two lines over there jumping all over the place. Let me see what's going on. Oh, my God. I don't know what to do here. Martha, how you doing?
Hello. Alderman Tillman.
Uh-huh.
I was listening to another station all the way over, you know, and I'm telling you, I heard something, Perkwinkle say something that just made, it put chills down my spine.
What was
he
that?
Said, black people don't need to be trying to be self-employed entrepreneurs.
I don't believe Tony said that. What station was that? I got to listen to that. I don't think she's that crazy.
I heard that.
No, I need to know what station that was. Now, I don't like to tell lies. I need to see so I can go pull the show. What show were you listening to, and when did she say it? Because we don't want to just.
I'm going to tell you now, it's the radio station that I used to call the racist station. It's all the way
That's
over
all right. I listen to all stations. What station was so I can listen so I can get pregnant with the state? What was it?
I don't know the name of the station because I keep it on WVON.
Well, I can't let you say stuff about her and we don't be able to verify that because I just don't believe. I served with Tony. And I don't believe, I mean, she got her faults, but I don't believe Tony Prettwicker said that, Martha. If she did, I want to hear it. If she, I don't think she's that crazy. If she is, something wrong with that.
They need to be, we need to try to get them a job. They don't need to be working for themselves because they just don't know what to say.
Well, do this for me.
I'm crazy what she said.
Okay, do this for me. If you find out what station it was, call up here, and even if I'm not here, the engineer get it so I can call listen to that before I let that go over the airways. Because I can't see Tony saying that. I know she's not that crazy. Thank you, Martha. And maybe she did, but I don't think so. I don't think that she said that. She's slick enough not to say some stuff like that. Now, come on. I think I got Eddie Reed on the phone. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, sister, how are you?
Listen, you got 2 minutes.
Yeah, I know real quickly I'm traveling, and Verizon went out this morning, so that's what happened. I'm just, you know, but here's what I wanted to say to you. I've got a lot of material for you. One of the things that people need to understand.
I told folks I got this from you. I got to get another copy because it's not clear. But
yeah,
we might have us a BIPO meeting. Who knows? Go on.
Yeah, we're going to have a whole lot of material for you. There were over 2,200 students that was enrolled in those clinics, in those classes, and what happened is, this was a bottom up, not top down. We had organizing ward councils, we had search committees, we provided support systems in terms of voter education, registration, and overall political preparation. I'll get all this material to you.
Well, I told them I got this up. We're gonna talk when you come, but I gotta go, and we're gonna talk back when you get here, and I'm gonna call me. So, because I want some other stuff besides this I want to get. And I thank you on the phone early today. I got to go, Eddie. I got like 3 minutes left and my board is lit up. I'm going to try to get 30 seconds. I try to talk to my people, empty my board when they call. Thank you. You know, I never can understand how people don't talk to the folks, answer the calls. I try, and y'all don't appreciate me for trying. Minister Plump, 30 seconds.
Yes, sir.
I don't need that. Who rule? We don't multiply. So what you got to say about this politics, and we got to go.
We got jobs or businesses for the people, and we need everybody to come on out to the Swift Mansion at
45th and King Drive. I got to go now because I got to stay on this subject. 45th and King Drive, that's all you got to say?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. I'm trying to empty the board before I go. I really am. Kirkland?
I know time is short. You gave me an assignment last week. There's no connection between Ariana Grande and Clive Davis.
Okay.
She actually had a relationship.
Call me back next week and give me more so you can have more time to talk because I ain't got that much time.
Okay.
Call earlier, though. Okay, thank you. I did give him an assignment last week. Reverend Weatherspoon.
God bless you, Doctor.
How much time I got over there? Okay, I got to play We Got the Power next.
Doctor. We need to meet with you at the Culture Center.
No, we meet somewhere else. I'm going to meet somewhere else other than the Culture Center. We're going to try to get one of these churches like we did before. Liberty. We
got
to take the stuff back to the churches. We got to take the stuff back to the church, Reverend Weatherspoon. These preachers got
to
get involved.
I agree with you. Let's go to your church.
We got a lot of other churches, too. We got to take this stuff back to the church. Got to get our soul, as the Reverend said at Aretha's funeral. Thank you so much. People got mad about we losing our soul. When you got a soul, there are certain things that you don't do. I want to thank y'all. I can't take no more calls. I want to play this phone. Y'all wake up and call me next week. I want to play You Got the Power. I'm sorry, y'all. Thank y'all for calling. At least I tried to empty my board. But I want to tell you, you got the power, black people. Don't spend no wooden nickel. It says that the criteria is have visibility. That's the power. Name recognition. Highest level of integrity. You got the power. Not like most likely to live up to high ideas of yourself as a person. High ideas of social and political morality. Trustworthiness in terms of serving an entire city. And yet remaining conscious and loyal to yourself and all of black people. These are some of the criteria we had in CBUF. The highest level of presence in our previous community civic environment, not as mandatory requirement, but as a guide for selection, and the greatest potential for winning both black and white votes. These was the Black Mayor's Up to You survey that CBUF put out. Thank you, Georgia. We had that you all gave us the name. You got the power. We said you got the power. Give us your name. And it's dwindled down. You all gave us a name. We dwindled down to 20. Carol Moseley Bronze, Robert Milton Bronze, Roland Burns, Manfred Burns, Margaret Burns, the power. This was you. You had the power. Lenora Cartwright, Reverend Johnny Coleman, Alderman Danny K. Davis, Alderman Marion Humes, Reverend Jesse L. Jackson, John A. Johnson, the publisher, Alderman Cliff Kelly, Attorney Ann Langford. You got the power. Lou Palma, Peace of RT, A.A. Rayner, our independent Republican that was in the city council. Renault Robinson, Congressman Gus Savage, Attorney Thomas Todd, and Congressman Harold Washington. You showed you had the power. You made the water clear. You selected and elected. Harold Washington, as Harold said, it's the man. It's the plan, not the man. You got the power, y'all. Be next week for part two, y'all. We can do this, but don't come talking to me. Don't sell me no wooden nickel, y'all. See what you going to do for black folks. If you're scared to say black, get out of my face. You know, sanctuary people cannot vote. Go base. You can't elect. You got two passports, two voter registrations. So you got to become a citizen. You got to speak English. You got to know the Constitution. Come on, black folks, start reading. Hey, until next week, Dorothy Wright Tillman says, find the power to lay that mountain down. I found the power, y'all. Y'all find it? I found the power. Woo! You got the power. You got the power. Dorothy Wright Tillman said, until next week, it's in your heart, your mind, your head, and heart is the same. Come on. But you got to put God in front of you. It's right there because until next week, Dorothy Wright Tillman said, reparations now. You got the power.
Somehow my soul remains. But is it all?
In this slavery, in
industry is this nation's foundation of economy. What bothers me is the stripping of language, culture, and religion of African descendants with no restriction. They cut children from my queen's guts to inbreed fear in us. My hands rough. My
if you want to get that title site, you can go to Coffee Tea page and pick it up, y'all. It's on my Coffee Tea page.
Mr. President, I'm here to represent for mine and Mother Africa, in which you raped and left behind, draining her natural resource, so to her people pay remorse or feel the force of a former slave, kidnapped from my land, locked in chains, brought to a new world to maintain, hard to survive while my kind's being hanged. Is it over now?
I'm a former slave. I've been shackled, been locked in chains, girl. But somehow my soul remains. But is it over now? Over now.
I am an existence to African descendants. Walk to your shores, vault your walls, tell your business. Beat me till defenseless. You did this for 400 plus, and the bottom of your.